Good afternoon. I will call the Programming and Allocations Committee to order. My name is David Campos. Madam Secretary, can we confirm a quorum?
Good afternoon. Yes, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. If you can please call item 2, the consent calendar. I don't have any speaker cards on the consent calendar. Colleagues, is there any item that any of you would like to remove from for consideration? Commissioner Aguirre?
I was just going to move.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve the consent calendar. Is there a second? Is there a second on the motion to approve the consent calendar? Second. Seconded by Commissioner Wiener. If those who vote aye, if you're in favor, please vote aye. Anyone oppose? Okay. No objection. Motion passes. If you can call item number 3.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon. I'm Kenneth Cao with the Programming and Allocations section. Item 3A is a request to authorize a public hearing on a proposed amendment to the Regional Measure 2 program. In consultation with project sponsors and adjoining congestion management agencies, staff proposes to redirect $12.8 million in savings from the I-80 eastbound HOV lane project in Contra Costa County to two new projects, the Regional Express Lane Network with $4.8 million and the Major Interchange Modifications Project in the vicinity of Interstate 80 and San Pablo Dam Road in Contra Costa County with $8 million. Regional Measure 2 included $50 million for the construction of a high-occupancy vehicle lane on I-80 in Contra Costa County. Caltrans completed construction of the HOV lane in 2011 and submitted the final invoice to MTC in September of 2012. Caltrans delivered the project for $37.2 million, resulting in a savings of $12.8 million. As directed by state law, staff consulted with the project sponsor as well as neighboring CMAs, and these partners identified the two new candidate projects. These projects must be in the same bridge corridor as the I-80 eastbound HOV lane project, which generated the savings. The first new project would study and perform preliminary engineering on the conversion of HOV lanes to express lanes on the I-80 corridor in Alameda and Contra Costa counties. The project sponsors MTC, which may delegate that responsibility to the Bay Area Infrastructure Financing Authority at a later date. Staff proposes the express lane project to receive $4.8 million. The second new project would complete phase one of major interchange modifications on I-80 near San Pablo Dam Road in Contra Costa County. The project would improve the El Portal interchange and the Riverside Avenue pedestrian overcrossing. The project sponsor is the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, and staff proposes $8 million for this project. Both projects are located in the same bridge corridor as the original I-80 HOV lane project that generated the savings and are eligible projects under the RM2 state statute. Therefore, staff recommends that the committee authorize the release of the public hearing notice and to begin the 30-day public comment period starting on March 11th. The public hearing would take place at the next Programming and Allocations Committee meeting on April 10th. This concludes my remarks, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Cao. Colleagues, any questions? Commissioner Bates.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you, San Pablo Dam Road, I-80, is being funded from what source?
It would be funded from $8 million if this is approved by Regional Measure 2. It also has, Contra Costa Measure funds as well as state.
And RM2 is used because it's an approach to the bridge?
RM2 is used because it does have a nexus to the Carquinez Bridge Corridor, yes.
Well, okay. I mean, it seems like it's a long ways from the bridge where Gilman, as an example, is much closer and much worse.
Commissioner, just to make one thing clear, this is to set a public hearing. You're not making a this is just to set the public hearing. You're not making a decision today.
And, I want to include,
you have questions or other ideas, we've got a couple of months to work that out.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to put forward Gilman Interchange as also a part of that public hearing. So, I mean, that is the worst interchange in the world. I was talking to Bijan about how we can possibly do approach, you know, meter ramp. It's impossible given the current configuration. So maybe we could add that if we're going to have some money with it.
I will say, Commissioner, the way the law requires us to deal with these savings, though, is by bridge corridor. And well, Gilman, I would say, is in the Bay Bridge corridor, not in the Carquinez Bridge corridor. Well, it's quite a bit closer to one than the other.
Well, I think it would be certainly from the Bay Bridge, but closer. It's closer to the Bay Bridge than the San Pablo Dam road is to Carquinez Bridge. Right?
Well, maybe before the hearing we'll do a measuring job for you. We can let you know.
Well, I would rather just get some money till we can finish that. It's the worst interchange in the, as I say, it's awful. And it's no way we have plans. We have moving forward. We just don't have the money to make it happen. And I think we should look at the, I mean, it is obviously a stumbling block to get to the Bay Bridge.
Colleagues, any other comments or questions? I see no speaker cards, so do we have a motion approving staff's recommendation? Motion by Commissioner Dodd and seconded by Commissioner Wiener. Oh, okay. Commissioner Wiener or Gere. So all is in favor? Any opposed? Okay. Without objection. Please call item number four.
No, and then we'll lose.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Kenneth Bolin with the programming staff. In item 4A is an information item on the Transit Performance Initiative Investment Program. And it's providing an update on the first round of funding that you all made in May of 2012. So on the screen there is a overview of the program. Again, what we are talking about today is $28 million that went to five projects from May 2012, essentially low-cost investments to improve operations and customer experience. And after this round, the commission did commit to $54 million of additional funding, and we are proposing two rounds, one late this year and then one in 2015. The projects that were funded are listed there, the $28 million. I would note on this list that there is one that it's under San Francisco MTA bus stop consolidation and roadway modification. That scope is to be determined, and it would be based on the outcome of their environmental document for their transit effectiveness program, which is scheduled to be finalized in January of 2014. The update today will be on the other five projects. The first project listed is AC Transit Line 51. This attempts to perform some speed and service improvements and improve the customer experience on this line that goes through Alameda, Oakland, and Berkeley. It's scheduled for completion in July of 2014. And currently it's on schedule, and they have just hired a new consultant team, and it appears to be moving forward and should hit that completion date in 2014. The second project is in San Francisco in the Mission Corridor. For the 14 Mission, the limited express buses on that, as well as the 49, I think, runs through that corridor. And this project is also scheduled for completion in June of 2014. We had initially rated it as a yellow, but after further discussions with SFMTA staff, it does appear to be on schedule. And in fact, one element of the project is painting of the dedicated lanes on certain areas of Mission Street, and that's scheduled to actually paint on the ground within about 6 months. So this, with the modification after talking with the staff, would be upgraded to a green project. Again, in San Francisco, the Anjuda corridor from the beach through downtown to 4th and King, this project has very similar improvements as the other San Francisco project. The dedicated transit lanes would be colored, some signal priority, as well as vehicle branding and enhanced stop identification. June 2014 is the scheduled construction completion date. And as I mentioned, this one, after further talks with SFMTA staff, we would upgrade this to a green as well. The final two projects are in Santa Clara County. The first one is kind of a system-wide project for VTA light rail that would provide hardware and software upgrades and improvements to improve the signal prioritization system. And that's scheduled for completion in 2014. And that one looks like it's yellow there. That project had some problems getting the grant from FTA, but that looks to be recoverable, and they have committed to having that project delivered on schedule for completion in 2014. And finally, the VTA Stevens Creek going from Cupertino, from De Anza College, all the way through downtown San Jose and San Jose State, again, February 2014. And that one, excuse me, let me go back to the, I'm going, can't see the colors right. This is a green, the VTA light rail system, and that one is on schedule. Where they were having problems with the grant for VTA was with the second bus project. But again, as I said, they believe they can have that completed by June 2014. So all in all, I think this is a very good news, this update. The projects should be delivered on time and on budget. We'll continue to work with the sponsors. I believe there's representatives from SFMTA here if anyone had questions on those projects. And we also look forward to developing the second TPI round this year and bringing you some recommendations at the end of the year. So with that, if there are any questions, otherwise this is just an information item.
Colleagues, any questions for staff? Thank you very much for your work. And this is an informational item, and I assume it's one of those informational items that you don't want us to act on. So why don't we move on to 4B.
All right, good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Jennifer Yeamans from MTC's Planning Section, and I'm here today to present the draft update to the region's Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan and request that this committee refer the plan with Resolution 4085 to the Commission for approval. In addition to the summary sheet for this item included with your packet, you also received a copy of the draft plan's executive summary, a list of public comments MTC has received on the draft plan since January, and a memo summarizing recommendations from the Policy Advisory Council Equity and Access Subcommittee, whose members have been closely involved throughout the plan update process. In addition, staff is also bringing you today a memo on this purple sheet from the Deputy Executive Director summarizing input we received at a regional summit MTC hosted last week for key regional stakeholders to provide feedback on MTC's role in advancing mobility management strategies recommended in the plan. Most of these comments have already been incorporated into the March draft of the plan that was included with the committee mailout, but staff will also ensure these key ideas, as well as any further comments received before the end of the public comment period March 8th, are fully reflected in the draft plan prior to commission adoption following your action today. To provide you with additional information on the plan update, I have a few slides summarizing the plan's requirements and background, update process, key findings, and recommendations, as well as next steps. The full draft coordinated plan update document is available on MTC's website via the link provided on your summary sheet. So with that, I'll just proceed. In terms of background, the main goals of the coordinated plan are to identify transportation needs for the region's low-income populations, seniors, and persons with disabilities, prioritize solutions to address those needs, and identify regional strategies to improve coordination between providers of public transit services, including complementary ADA paratransit, and human service transportation providers. MTC first adopted the regional coordinated plan in 2007 in response to new coordinated planning requirements under Safety Lou, which required that projects seeking funding from FTA's Section 5310, Jobs Access and Reverse Commute, and New Freedom programs be derived from a locally developed coordinated plan. Under the new federal authorization, MAP 21, this requirement continues for projects seeking funding from the new consolidated 5310 program for seniors and people with disabilities. So with these requirements and provisions as a background, you know, it's kind of up to MTC at the regional scale to develop coordination strategies that make the most sense for our region. We have various requirements from the federal and state levels to enhance coordinations, but there aren't specific mechanisms from these at these levels of government to enable MTC or others at the local level to better coordinate, especially funding across different transportation services. That notwithstanding, there are a variety of local efforts underway throughout the region to try to facilitate better coordination and resources between public transportation providers and human service transportation providers. So in terms of the plan update process, I'll just briefly summarize. We convened a multi-interest group of stakeholders to advise on the project because it is so cross-cutting across different transportation providers. We reviewed plans that have completed since the last plan was completed in 2007, as well as some new research was undertaken. We did assess progress on implementing the plan since 2007, which I'll summarize for you. And then we sought input from stakeholders to review and update particularly the transportation gaps and solutions for the target populations. There's also a public review of the draft plan, which is currently underway through March 8th prior to commission adoption. So just by way of summarizing some of the key findings from the plan update process, this chart shows our current and future senior population in the region. The senior wave that we've heard about for so many years has finally arrived when the baby boomers began turning 65 in the year 2010. And this population will continue to rise steeply through 2030 when it will start to level off a bit. But by then, the population of seniors in the region will have more than doubled. And to put it in the perspective of service providers, for example, in the 2013, a Bay Area resident will turn 65 every 6 minutes. And those are folks that in the coming years we can expect will be looking for transportation alternatives to utilize as they stop driving probably as much. In terms of the previous plan result, this chart summarizes where the FTA funding sources, JARC, New Freedom, and 5310, have gone under the previous plan. Because the requirements and administrative frameworks for these three programs are all very different, there's various reasons why the projects group up in this way, but about half of the funds have gone to providing accessible vehicles, especially to human service transportation providers. The rest have gone to alternative programs like taxi voucher programs or volunteer driver programs, things like that, as well as the remainder to fixed route transit and mobility management and travel training activities, as well as some additional miscellaneous categories. All in all, over the 6 years we analyzed, it was a total of $6.5 million per year, roughly across these three funding sources. So in terms of the transportation gaps, we heard facing people with low income, seniors, and people with disabilities, we definitely heard that there are critical limitations of ADA paratransit in terms of how public transit operators provide this mandated service in terms of what people's mobility needs are. especially a need for alternatives to fixed route transit for those who are not able to access fixed route transit but may not be able to use ADA paratransit either. So things like long waits or a long distance to a bus stop for seniors. There's also a need for more fixed route service for those who do use it, as well as we heard a lot about the desire for safety and comfort improvements for pedestrians and transit users trying to access transportation, as well as people wanting more information and assistance finding and using transportation services, including alternatives. And then we heard also about affordability challenges for both auto ownership and transit fares for some low-income individuals and families. The solutions recommended in the plan fall into four broad categories with a variety of different potential projects within them, and these include mobility management and travel training and other coordination activities, additions or improvements to paratransit that exceed ADA requirements, as well as demand responsive services other than paratransit, things that I mentioned like volunteer driver programs and other alternatives. Additions or improvements to public transit and access to transit, so that could be increased service or else improvements to bus stops, things that enable people to reach public transit, as well as some solutions to address affordability barriers. Moving on to the regional coordination strategies recommended in the plan, these have been subject to quite a bit of discussion around the region with our stakeholders, and it's been a pretty interesting and illuminating discussion. The first recommendation is to really strengthen mobility management throughout the Bay Area. Mobility management is a more customer-focused approach to identifying and delivering transportation services that takes the user's needs in mind first and foremost, and then matches them with the best available form of transportation to meet their needs, whether it's fixed route transit or ADA paratransit or some other human service or complementary transportation. So to do that, there's some sub-recommendations involving, I think, some institutional work that the region needs to tackle to advance mobility management, just some functional recommendations about activities that should be carried out by counties or at the sub-regional level, and finally some legislative advocacy work that could help facilitate actual mechanisms to improve coordination. And then the second broad coordination strategy has to do with more broadly promoting walkable communities and complete streets and integration of transportation and land use decisions. And that's really all about bringing people and their destinations closer together and diminishing demand for transportation on our system as a whole. So the next steps recommended in the plan are first to adopt the coordinated plan update. Next, staff is the plan is recommending that based on this regional vision for strengthening mobility management, that we develop a region-wide mobility management implementation plan in partnership with our local stakeholders and partners. This is to build on a lot of good work that many people are already doing locally, and to have a more comprehensive view throughout the region of what the needs and resources are that are available to support these activities. And finally, to inform future funding decisions based on coordinated plan update strategies and priorities. So that concludes my slides. And so I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. And just by way of summary, just to repeat, staff's recommending the committee refer MTC Resolution 4085, including any additional changes to fully reflect additional comments received to the end of the comment period, to the commission for approval.
Thank you very much, Ms. Yeamans. I don't see any speaker cards on this item either. Colleagues, do you have any comments or questions for staff? So, Commissioner Bates?
Yeah, I just want to emphasize the latter part of your recommendation. I think that's really important for us to try to emphasize and make sure we do the future funding decisions, really start working on a coordinated plan, because I have the impression that when you go to from one county to the next, there are big problems in making those connections. So I think it's extremely important we do that. Also, there's some other strategies too that we can try to work on that are sort of out of the current thinking. Like, for instance, in our community, we have a car share that's actually a van that's accessible to people with disabilities to use, And it's, you know, we use it during the work day for like our city clerk when they need to move information back and forth. But in the evenings and weekends, that's available to community. And it's really quite heavily used. I was surprised how heavily used it is. So something like that, if we can start thinking about some strategies that, where we can have a dual purpose kind of opportunities for people, would make sense.
Thank you, Commissioner. Colleagues, any other comments or questions? So can we have a motion to approve staff's recommendation? Motion by Commissioner Weiner. Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Dodd. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes. Thank you very much for your good work. Madam Secretary, I guess next item five.
Yes, Alex Bockelman, Director of Programming Allocations. My CTC report today is short, but also somber. With the retirement last month and very sad passing of Bimla Reinhardt yesterday, the CTC did act quickly to appoint a new executive director, Andre Boutros. Andre has been serving as the chief deputy director at CTC, so he will now be the executive director. Just a few other items of note from the meeting. The CTC did discuss the 2014 STIP fund estimate assumptions leading up to an adoption later this summer, and that will sort of kick off a process here in the region where the CMAs and MTC will start putting together a regional transportation improvement program for submittal to the CTC. Also, of note on the Proposition 1B trade corridor program, the CTC did discuss one possible project failure that's within the Northern California trade area, improvement to the rail corridor at Tehachapi. So they requested that the Northern California Trade Coalition, which includes MTC, work with our partners and the railroad BNSF to see if there's a downscoped project in that area that can still meet the time frame and the budget that's available. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much. This is also an informational item. Thank you, Ms. Mockelman. And next is public comment, information. I don't see any speaker cards, and just we want to note that the next meeting of the Programming and Allocations Committee will be April 10th, 2013 at 9:40 a.m. In this building. Meeting adjourned.